It is time for the Warren County Radio Bible School. And this morning we're going to have our special feature where we read from the Rock Cliff Review. Now that is the little publication that we pass out to everyone that attends services on Sunday mornings at the Rock Cliff Church of Christ. And in that Rock Cliff Review, there is somewhat a summary or a supplement to the sermon that is preached that morning. And this particular morning, the sermon was from the 36th Psalm. And the name of that sermon was The Wickedness of Man and the Goodness of God. Let me read first the 36th Psalm, and then we'll read from the Rock Cliff Review. I'm going to read from the American Standard Version of 1901. And there's an inscription to the 36th Psalm for the chief musician, a Psalm of David, the servant of Jehovah. The transgression of the wicked saith within my heart, there is no fear of God before his eyes, for he flattereth himself in his own eyes, that his iniquity will not be found out and be hated. The words of his mouth are iniquity and deceit. He hath ceased to be wise and to do good. He deviseth iniquity upon his bed. He setteth himself in a way that is not good. He abhorreth not evil. Verse 5. Thy loving kindness, O Jehovah, is in the heavens. Thy faithfulness reacheth unto the skies. Thy righteousness is like the mountains of God. Thy judgments are great deep. O Jehovah, thou preservest man and beast. How precious is thy loving kindness, O God! And the children of men take refuge under the shadow of thy wings. They shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house, and thou wilt make them drink of the river of thy pleasures. For with thee is the fountain of life, and in thy light shall we see light. O, continue thy loving kindness unto them that know thee, and thy righteousness to the upright in heart. Let not the foot of pride come against me, and let not the hand of the wicked drive me away. There are the workers of iniquity fallen. They are thrust down, and shall not be able to rise. Now to the Rock Cliff Review. The wickedness of man and the goodness of God. The inscription of the 36th Psalm tells us that it was written to the chief musician. We infer from this that it was intended for public consumption. It is of David, who is identified here as the servant of the Lord. This is a psalm that contrasts the wickedness of men with the goodness of God. It is one of the most beautiful, in it is one of the most beautiful descriptions of God in the Bible. The wickedness of man is described in the first four verses. The transgression of the wicked saith within my heart, there's no fear of God before his eyes. For he flattereth himself in his own eyes until his iniquity be found to be hateful. The words of his mouth are iniquity and deceit. He hath left off to be wise and to do good. He deviseth mischief upon his bed. He setteth him in a way that is not good. He abhorreth not evil. Notice that man is wicked through transgression. He goes beyond the ways of God for his own way. His wickedness comes from his heart, for from his heart he does not fear, reverence, and acknowledge God. This verse is quoted along with other verses in the New Testament that show the depravity of man. Romans chapter 3, verses 10 through 18 begins, "There is none righteous, no, not one," and it ends, "There is no fear of God before their eyes." The wicked flatters himself until the day he sees how hateful he has become. He lives in iniquity, preaches iniquity, and covers iniquity with lies. Transgression makes a fool out of a man. Wisdom, in wisdom literature, is the acknowledgement of God. From wisdom comes goodness. When you leave God off, you leave off goodness. The wicked delights in evil and devises evil on his bed. He's like those in the days of Noah whose thoughts were only evil continually, Genesis 6 and verse 5. He's like those of Romans 1, 28 through 31, who did not like to retain God in their knowledge, and who became inventors of evil things. Transgression invites you to sit in the evil way, and it tells you that evil is really not all that bad. Contrast that with the goodness of God. Thy mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens, and thy faithfulness reacheth unto the clouds. Thy righteousness is like the great mountains. Thy judgments are a great deep. O Lord, thou preserveth man and beast. How excellent is thy loving kindness, O God! Therefore the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. They shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house, and thou shalt make them drink of the river of thy pleasures. For with thee is the fountain of life, and thy light shall we see light. Psalm 36, 5 through 9. God's mercies, goodness, benevolence, and grace are beyond reach and comprehension. God is true to himself, a keeper of promises, and his mercy exceeds all standards. His righteousness is like a mountain, grand, immovable, conspicuous, and enduring. His judgments are as deep as the unsounded oceans. It takes the sky, the clouds, the mountains, and the seas to describe the majestic attributes of God. God preserves man and beast. We read in Matthew 6:26, Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Excellent describes his loving kindness. And this is a word that describes the luster of precious stones. It is in God's house where we find spiritual satisfaction, life, and light. The psalm ends with a prayer. Considering the inscription, we may want to call this the prayer of the Lord's servant. Psalm 36, 10 through 12. O continue thy loving kindness unto them that know thee, and thy righteousness to the upright in heart. Let not the foot of pride come against me, and let not the hand of the wicked remove me. There are the workers of iniquity fallen. They are cast down, and shall not be able to rise. The 36th Psalm calls to mind the passage from Isaiah, Isaiah 55, 7 through 9. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. This makes me want to be a servant of God. It makes me want to be a Christian. Now we read from the Rockcliffe Review, because the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rockcliffe. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rockcliffe and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. In our normal studies on this, the regular studies we're having in this Bible school, we're studying the life of Christ. And we're looking at the account of the boyhood of Jesus. There's not a lot about his boyhood, but there is that visit to the temple that he made when he was 12 years old. And we read that after that visit in Luke chapter 2 and verse 51 and 52, that he went down with his parents and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. And his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. And Jesus advanced in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. Jesus was just as much in the work of God at home in Nazareth, subject to his parents, as he was in his public ministry. Disobedient to parents is a bad sign and a great sin. And the text said his mother kept these sayings in her heart. There were many things already in his life to fill her soul with thought and wonder. Now let's see the means by which Jesus grew. And this comes from the People's New Testament with notes by Johnson. There we read, Jesus grew up among a people seldom and only contemptuously named by the ancient classics, and the subject at that time to the yoke of foreign oppressors in a remote and conquered province of the Roman Empire, in the darkest district of Palestine, in a little country town of proverbial insignificance, in poverty and manual labor, in the obscurity of a carpenter shop, far away from universities, academics, libraries, and literary and polished society, without any help, so far as we know, except the paternal care and daily wonders of nature, the Old Testament scriptures, the weekly Sabbath service of the synagogue in Nazareth, the annual festivals at the Temple of Jerusalem, and the secret intercourse of his soul with God, his heavenly Father. And with this, Jesus advanced in wisdom and in stature. This is also stated in Luke chapter 2 and verse 40. Jesus was not a man in a child's body. His mind developed as he grew larger and stronger. He grew in every way, in stature, in intellect, in wisdom, in heart, and in favor with God and men. He grew by the use of means. He grew physically by taking proper exercise, wholesome food, and restful sleep. He grew in wisdom and grace by asking questions, studying the scriptures, and in exercise of mind and soul. The physical exercise which Jesus took embraced his manual labor as a carpenter. The fact that he learned to work with his own hands must not be overlooked. In these quiet years at Nazareth were spent in physical, mental, and spiritual development and preparation for his great public work. He resisted temptation, prayed, attended to the feast and public worship, and kept God's laws. Thus he grew in grace, in favor with God, and in sincerity, in purity, generosity, humility, and kindness that brought him into favor with men. And thus Christians are to grow. One of the last words we have from Peter in 2 Peter 3 and verse 18 is to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And Christians must live according to Titus chapter 2 and verse 10, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. Oh, we have much curiosity about the boyhood of Jesus, and men have tried to fill that with fables and stories of their own making, but God has drawn a veil of secrecy over many of those intimate moments as that young child grew with the knowledge given to him of his birth from his father and his mother, and then what he read in the scriptures, and he came to understand that he was the promised Messiah, the Son of God.